This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And let's start with the Middlesex District Attorney's decision yesterday to drop criminal charges against an Irish nanny accused of shaking a baby to death more than 2 years ago. That reversal is now causing some to raise questions about shaken baby syndrome itself.
Yesterday, prosecutors said they no longer had a case against Aisling Brady McCarthy after the Office of the State Medical Examiner said it could no longer stand by its ruling that the infant's death was a homicide. Aisling Brady McCarthy's lawyers say she spent 2.5 years in prison for a crime that she did not commit and that did not occur.
It's the second time in less than a year that the medical examiner's office changed its position on a shaken baby case. And it follows a number of similar cases around the country in which murder convictions were overturned.
To get a better understanding of shaken baby syndrome, we're joined now by Robert Sagi. He's a member of the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Child Abuse and Neglect and vice president at Health Resources in Action, a public health policy organization. And Dr. Sagi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So we should preface this conversation by saying that the medical examiner's report has not been released in this case, so I know you can't address this case specifically. But in general, what do doctors look for when determining whether or not head trauma is caused by abuse?
Well, first of all, like any medical diagnosis, what we do is we try to start with a history. Was there some event that caused it that was witnessed? Did the child fall? Was there a motor vehicle crash? Any of those sort of things. And then we look at the physical exam. When you look at the child, are there other signs of abuse? Are there any bruises or scrapes, lacerations? Some bruises in very young infants are very unusual because, as you know, before a child can walk, they don't get bruised. And then we do x-rays and imaging tests and blood tests, all of which are designed to see what's going on in the child, both in terms of the acute injury and also what may have happened in the past and whether they have a disease that makes them more likely to bleed or some other problem.
Mm. So what are some of the challenges in trying to figure out whether actual abuse caused these symptoms or some other cause?
Well, you know, first of all, generally for most medical diagnoses, you can start with the history, and the people who are giving you the history will be straightforward with you. So if you have a cold and you told the doctor you've been sick for a week, you've probably been sick for a week. With head trauma, often we don't get a good history, so it makes it more complicated. The second thing is that we have to decide that the neurologic condition of the child is severe enough that we want to go and do a head computed tomography or CT scan and what else we have to do. Because, as you know, a lot of things can make a baby tired or make a baby vomit. It's not always something inside the head. So the first decision is, do we think there's something going on inside the head? And then once we do that, do a careful physical exam, look in the eyes, usually do a CT scan to see inside the head, often do other x-rays to see where there's evidence of old fractures. One thing we know about child abuse is that often children are abused multiple times, So it's not infrequent to see evidence of past abuse in a child, and sometimes that will sort of really help make the diagnosis. And it's difficult.
Sure. Well, as you know, Doctor, this is the second time in a year that the Massachusetts Medical Examiner's Office has reversed its finding in a baby's death. And we were reading earlier today that in the U.S., 16 convictions have been overturned since 2001, including 3 last year. So does this raise questions about the diagnosis of shaken baby syndrome? What are your thoughts on that?
It doesn't. To me, it doesn't raise the question at all. You know, if you think about it, there are people who are falsely accused of murder, there are robberies, all kinds of things, and the justice system is not perfect. So in a situation where we have hundreds and perhaps 1,000 infants a year who experience shaken baby syndrome, the fact that 16 convictions over a multi-year period were overturned lets me know that the justice system worked and that people get a fair shot at getting their story told. If they're not convicted beyond a reasonable doubt, then they're innocent. And I'm very happy that we live in a country with a judicial system that looks at things skeptically and tries to make sure that justice is done. It doesn't change anything about whether or not shaken baby syndrome or abusive head trauma exists. We Sadly, it does.
Hmm. I want to just read you one quote from Gregory Davis, the chief medical examiner in Birmingham, Alabama, and the board chairman of the National Association of Medical Examiners. And he's told the Washington Post this, quote, "You can't necessarily prove shaken baby syndrome one way or another." He said neither side can point to compelling evidence and say we're right and the other side is wrong. So instead it goes to trial. Do you disagree with that?
I actually do. I think that part of the issue is that many cases of abusive head trauma never make it to trial. And sometimes because the police and the prosecutors can't figure out who the perpetrator was. But often, and I've certainly seen this, because someone confesses. And it's a very sad situation, but frequently a person just reaches the end of their rope. They're frustrated. The infant won't shut up. They don't mean to cause harm or death, but they just can't stand it anymore. So I think that with all due respect to the medical examiner, most of these cases don't make it to trial. So I don't think that as opposed to someone like me, a child abuse pediatrician, who actually sees these babies, I don't think the medical examiner has the broadest possible experience and can say something like that.
Hmm. So, doctor, it sounds like despite what we're reading about this particular case, this idea of shaken baby syndrome or abusive head trauma, it's based on pretty good empirical research, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, there are hundreds of articles in the medical literature by radiologists, pathologists, medical examiners, pediatricians, ophthalmologists, social workers, all describing this and describing all the details that you might want to know about it. But this has been seen so often, and there are so many articles about it, it's very difficult for anyone to say that this syndrome doesn't exist.
Mm. And when you read about a reversal like this, when a prosecutor decides that they just don't have the evidence to move forward and a medical examiner changes their opinion, does that suggest there needs to be more training or changes in the way that a medical examiner looks at these cases?
You know, I haven't seen the medical examiner's report. I don't know any details about this child, so I think it would be presumptuous of me to make a comment like that, beyond saying that all of us as physicians get continuing education all the time through our careers. We're required to do it, and it's a good idea. So I would never argue against that, but there's nothing that I know in particular, since I don't know anything about this case medically other than what I've read in the paper.
Sure. Well, based on your experience, how common are infant deaths as a result of abusive head trauma?
Well, there are kind of two answers to that. One is that they're uncommon, and that's great because, you know, although babies can be frustrating, most adults can control themselves, and that's not a problem. But having said that, it's one of the leading causes of death for infants after things like birth defects and things like that. It's unfortunately way more common than it should be. And we're doing a lot of work at the American Academy of Pediatrics and elsewhere to try to prevent abusive head trauma, to try to help parents so they don't get to that point of just frustration that seems to lead to this. You know, when people talk about why they shook a baby or did this, most commonly the baby was crying. So we spent a lot of time talking with families and with the media about what to do when a baby cries, and babies never die from crying. Put the baby down in a safe place, make yourself a cup of tea, call a friend, do whatever you need to do, and just let it wash over you. Every moment of having being a parent is not always joyous. There's other stuff that happens too, particularly when babies are young and they cry, and most parents are exhausted, and it is preventable. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of starting to reduce the number of abusive head trauma cases. And that's what I see we have to concentrate on.
All right. Well, that's Dr. Robert Sagi. He's a member of the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Child Abuse and Neglect and vice president at Health Resources in Action, which is a public health policy organization. Dr. Sagi, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much for calling me.
There's more of the show in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.